Welcome to Couch Lock, your number one movie podcast. This week, we're shining the spotlight on Scream 6. For now, we'll keep the spoilers masked, but a little later, we'll be gutting them wide open. So, Mike, quick question.
What's your favorite scary movie?
That is excellent. Yes, today we are talking about Scream 6, which is not my favorite scary movie, but it's,
oh, no.
It's okay. You know, not every movie has to be your favorite movie, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So yeah, the story of Scream 6 follows Sam and Tara Carpenter, played by Melissa Barrera and the one and only Jenna Ortega, and it follows those two as they're dealing with the aftermath of the last Scream movie. Sam Carpenter's dad is Billy Loomis, the original killer from the original, or one of the original killers from the original Scream. And as there's another ghost face running around, it's the sixth time it's happening.
You know, you sometimes lightning strikes six times in various locations now, because we have actually left Woodsboro and are now set in New York City, of all places, right?
Yes, and I think that's one of the film's strengths, is having it be set in New York City. It's such a new environment for this sort of movie to take place, which we sort of talk about in an upcoming episode. However... it's a very good backdrop for this. It's not the small town that you're used to in these Scream movies. It's a huge town. Anybody, and you know, they play off of it with it being Halloween and people dressing up as the killer, and there's a lot of social commentary in this movie as well, which I appreciate, as well as the talks about the state of films and franchises, and how that is affecting the ongoing Hollywood movie experience, if you will.
Yeah, and honestly, like, it's part of why I really enjoyed this Scream movie. Without saying too much about it, it provided some more modern, like, comedic relief during some of those more, like, intentionally scary scenes. So I felt like it wasn't so gut-wrenchingly, oh my god, I'm going to, like, barf up my lower intestine right now scary.
Right.
It was more like, this is absurd and I'm enjoying it, and there is some crazy, like, gore, wicked, gnarly horror elements happening in front of me, but it's funny.
It feels like a thriller movie with a horror background almost, and the music kind of plays along into that too. The music's like this big bombastic. It's not necessarily very tense or scary. It's more like, it feels almost like an action movie at times to me.
And even like a lot of the chase scenes, that sort of thing, how the characters are moving through the city, it's got a really nice pace to it that doesn't make you feel too much like dread, like sometimes in these more more paranormal, like heavy horror movies like that. It's all like one creepy house you're in the whole time, and it just feels so heavy, and you just feel like anxious the whole time because you're always in it. But this movie is moving so fast, and they're going from location to location and moving around the city so much that it's never too much. Like, it's, you're always on the edge of your seat, but it's never like, wow, I'm just so paranoid and anxiety ridden right now, I can't enjoy it.
Right. It definitely plays into that as well, because it does kind of tighten up sometimes and try to get some anxiety out of you with a few scenes, which I think they do pretty effectively. And I enjoyed a lot of the acting in this as well. It was very well acted by the two main characters, as well as all the side characters. I feel like they all captured some sort of individuality, especially with the more intimate moments. And again, there's more of around that and the more psychotic characters that we can get into later on, but overall I really enjoyed the acting, and I think the character work, as far, I liked the side characters a bit more than the main characters, I think, but that could just be personal preference.
The side characters definitely fleshed it out, like and they do a good job, I think, of carrying the film. moving us through different scenes, not overacting in moments, but also being aware of the meta nature that Scream movies generally have. Yes. I think giving the actor the task of balancing those two things can be really difficult. Like, hey, we want you to overact on purpose, but without too much overacting that it's atrociously horrible, and we can't clean this up.
Right,
you know?
And this movie kind of has the luxury of being able to fall back on that. Some moments I felt that it was pretty cheesy. It kind of felt like a franchise to me, which I don't typically enjoy, but that's obviously what this is here. But it, like I said, it has the luxury of being able to fall back on, like, oh, there's this whole meta conversation happening throughout the movie that we're doing this on purpose because it is cheesy and we're acknowledging that, or, you know, what have you.
And that's, like, really kind of always been the basis of the Scream movies, even from the very get-go. It's always been... always had that satirical element of all these horror tropes, right? So if you go into this movie expecting that to be there, like, they do a great job of giving the fans that part of, like, going to a Scream movie. And I think that viewers will also be, like, really surprised and excited about the things that they've added. Like we were saying, because of the change up of where it's based in New York, we get a lot of new opportunities of ways we can scare people.
Right.
So I think they did a really good job of just tying it all together and pushing us forward. At the same time, I think that they've opened the door to a big future where we could also get a lot more out of this franchise.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what else they come up with, for sure. Maybe separate from this story, if like, you know, there's a crazy killer elsewhere in the U.S. that became obsessed with this story and decided to pull this on one of their classmates or something. I don't know. But one thing I really did...
Hey, you know, 10 people have done it before. Why? How many people?
Yeah, why not? Why not another? One thing I really did enjoy is the more personal moments between the core four, I will call them. You'll know once you watch.
Oh my god!
I did enjoy those more personal moments between them. I feel like it showed real relationships, real struggles with those relationships and how people bond and become closer. And I think they really kind of nailed that, which gave the movie a lot of heart for me.
Oh yeah. And I think it's really like, I don't know. It's part of why like how I was saying, there are like funny moments to kind of break up that intense suspense you're feeling. It's partially because these supporting characters are really good at making you like them. A lot of times in horror films, it's like the opposite, right? You're like, sometimes you're even like rooting for somebody to die. You're like, oh my god, they're so fucking annoying. But like in this instance, I did feel like anytime a side character was threatened with a situation, I always did kind of feel like my stomach jump up into my throat, like, please nothing bad happened to this one.
Right, yeah, for sure. I felt that too. I did feel that as well.
Right. But at the end of the day, you're watching Scream, so you know bad things are gonna happen.
I also will say they set it up to make it really feel like anything could happen, and I felt that throughout the whole movie. It's kind of like,
oh my,
anyone's
goodness.
Expendable, anyone can die, anyone can be the killer. Like, you don't know what's gonna happen, and I did feel that way throughout, like, the whole thing until the big reveal.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that as well. Like the whole revealing part, like the revealing of the masked psychopath ghost killer is always like a big part of all of these movies. Yeah. And
the big monologue,
all of that. But like how they played it this time was really good.
You liked it?
Oh, I did like it a lot. Honestly, I would say at the end of the day, if you want to go just have a good time at a scary movie and be prepared for something that, yeah, it's gonna have the jump scares, yes, it is gonna have the gore, but is also going to make you laugh and giggle and just leave having a very good time, I feel this is a good movie
for
you.
It's a fun movie. I would say so as well. It's a fun movie to go see in the theater. especially yes. a packed theater. That would be, or the drive-in for.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I went and saw it at the drive-ins.
So she wouldn't get
and
too
it was
scared.
Raining. It was actually because there's like this car in front of us and the kids kept getting out of it and like running past our car really fast. I was like, oh my god, please lock the door, lock the
door.
I'm gonna
throw on the ghost face mask. These kids don't stop running around.
Yeah, for fucking real, get out of your car one more time, kid.
So yeah,
the dash lights come on.
So yeah, this is a great movie to go see in theaters or with friends. We would definitely recommend. Now, mm-hmm. let's gut this bitch.
Okay, to dive in a little deeper. Ew, that sounds bad considering the context of gutting. Anyways. So, like, right from the top of this film, right? I love Samara Weaving. I think she's beautiful and a great actress. I loved her in Ready
was
or Not.
That, was that the girl from the beginning on the phone?
She's the teacher, yes, okay. Who's trying to meet up with her her mystery date from hell. And this is why they say not to meet strangers, okay? Because you never know when one is going to lure you into a dark alley and not be a date, but in fact be a psychopath.
Right, and this is the beginning of this movie really shows you how they're going to subvert your expectations. She gets the call. You mm-hmm. know right off the bat that this woman is going to die.
It's a Scream movie. Yeah. Can you tell me anybody who's survived the opening
the first phone call? Right. And they're talking on the phone, and it's kind of funny. She's a horror movie professor or whatever, and she's like, there's certain rules that you have to follow. Don't go out by yourself. Don't do this. Mm-hmm. Don't have sex. And the guy on the phone goes, don't pick up your phone.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, that too. While she picked up her phone
on the phone.
Yeah. After this guy called her. And I thought that was pretty funny. I liked, and then they subverted your expectations
and also
again by after the killing, they showed the face of the killer right off the bat.
Yeah, you know, right from the get-go, because they talk about this several times in the film, right from the get-go, they're explaining to you that nobody is safe and you don't know what's going to happen, right? Oh, maybe you shouldn't pick up the phone, right? Well, she's in a crowded bar in the middle of New York
right.
City about to meet a blind date. Even that's unsafe, right?
Yeah.
And then you're right. We actually get to the alleyway. She gets jumped by Ghostface,
brutally stabbed
a bunch of times and left like a bag of garbage in an alleyway. Well, in that very moment, at the first, what is this, 5-10 minutes of the film, we see Ghostface takes his mask off. We see that
it's Spider-Man's bully.
We see that it's Spider-Man's bully. He's graduated school, but
what is it, Flash?
Didn't
yeah.
make it far. It's the Flash. What's his last name? It's Tony Ravioli. I'm so sorry. That is not his name. It's
Tony, Tony Revolori. Revolori. Tony Revolori. But we're keeping
Tony Revolori.
Yeah. Keep it in.
Tony. I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah, so right away we get that reveal of who Ghostface is. And it kind of made me like, oh, okay, this is going to be different.
Yeah,
and
I felt exactly
the movie's
the
off,
same.
Right?
Yeah, I felt exactly the same way.
But that dream does not live long.
No, and then it flips the script on its head again, because now the hunter is being hunted mm-hmm. because it follows Tony's character, Jason, follows him home,
right,
where him and his partner had this plan to kill Sam and Tara because they're obsessed with the killer. That would be the setup
yeah.
for another what's the word I'm looking for,
like an alternate universe. This was going to be the story of Scream,
right? Like but that movie already happened is kind of what they're saying.
But
like that,
yeah,
that
exactly
happened. We've been told that story and you don't actually know what's happening in this story.
It was like it's like this movie became so meta that every step of the way it had to be like that, like TikTok trend of like always keep them guessing videos. You
yeah.
know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
For sure.
where they were like, nope, like, we're going to, like, bitch slap you 6 times in the first 20 minutes of this film as we make you question what it's even about. We do get introduced to Tara, right? Pretty early on. She's on her way to a party as Tony Revolori's character Jason, they like pass each other in the street, right? So we get the scene set that Tara is in New York City. She's going to school there, right? They've been there for about a year, but then Tony goes off back to his apartment, and that is where our true villain, our true ghost face, jumps in, goes ahead and kills them. And of course, we commence with
Scream 6. Oh, I want to bring this up because this is
okay.
It's my fault that this movie didn't meet my expectations. Okay, here's what happened. They're going through the Scream Theater that is set up, which I also liked how the Scream Theater had the different costumes stood up, right? Like it was a Marvel movie.
I was waiting for one to jump out the whole time.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I just liked how it kind of mirrored like a Marvel movie or like a Batman movie. They have all the
like
suits.
The Iron Man suits.
Yeah, they have all the suits up. It totally reminded me of like of just franchise just stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Same with all the props and stuff inside. It just reminded me of that.
It's just like some fucked up museum.
yeah, exactly. They talk about the TV that kills Stu in the original movie, the other killer,
right?
Other than Sam's dad. And Mindy says, yeah, if you believe he's dead. And I had a theory going into this that it would Matthew Lillard's character committing this, and he was going to have this whole monologue where he says, you could try to do all this stuff, but it's never going to be as good as the original. And it was going to be him. And I was like, oh, that's going to be so sick. So, like, I wrote this movie in my head and I hyped it up.
Okay.
And then, you know, obviously my wishes were too big, and that's my fault. I shouldn't have gotten ahead of myself like that. But my idea of that was so epic and grandiose. I was like, oh, they have to do that.
That would be fantastic. You know, I actually thought about that too, but then the Brendan Fraser thing happened, and I can explain a little bit.
Please do.
So, like, you know how Brendan Fraser had his heyday, right? Like, we were kids, but our parents remember when he was like hunka burning love. And so he was like in a bunch of movies, and then he just kind of like sizzled out. But this year, I guess technically at the end of 2022, he had a resurgence. Brendan Fraser's stock skyrocketed. Now he's on talk shows and he's popping off and he's selling products. And I think my theory is this. I think you're right. I think we are going to get that Matthew Lillard moment. And I hope we do, because you're totally right. That monologue would be fucking
like,
sick.
I was writing notes in the theater. And I was like prepared. I went with my brother and I was prepared to show him my phone after they reviewed Stu at the end being the killer. I was like, oh, I'm going to be so cool.
Yeah.
But none of that happened, which is okay. I just kind of hyped myself up a bit too much for it. I thought it was going to be way bigger than it was.
Well,
and that's my fault.
Well, yeah, no, but here's the thing is Brendan Fraser can kind of go out there and like pick some roles right now, right? I think they are waiting for that moment to happen with Matthew Lillard. Now, I think it's going to take a little more time, but we have a Scream 7 coming, right?
Yeah, so
they did give us a little Easter egg this time.
Yeah, so
because
this is a couch lock prediction here. We're predicting that Scream 7 Matthew Lillard is the killer.
That's bold, but I think it's a safe bet, buddy. Ghostface, Matthew Lillard's coming back. Matthew Lillard's coming back. 2024 Ghostface. He didn't die. He's not dead.
He's not dead.
Okay?
If you believe he's dead, that's what killed him. But, you know, that was definitely a very, like, intentional nod, I believe. I feel like that was very intentional.
Every single thing they do in this movie franchise is... it feels intentional because it's so unintentional. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's part of like the secret sauce of what made the Scream movies kick to begin with. And I love the scene when they're all sitting around outside and Mindy, Jasmine Savoy Brown's character, she's literally wearing a t-shirt that says Femme Lead on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it would kind of mirror the last movie where they did the same thing. They deconstructed the horror movie tropes. And this time we're not in a sequel, we're in a franchise.
Dun dun. And the music cues and everything, but that's part of it too. Like in that movie, in that moment, we get some of those original callbacks, right? Like the whole "this is the part where," you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that has existed in so many Scream movies. We get it again in this movie. This is the part where, and you go, "Oh, haha, he said it."
Well, and you know, another thing that was kind of like leading me to predict that in this movie was the countdown of masks. They were going from the last movie, Scream 6, to the
four,
to the killer of or to 5, to the killer of 4, and then 3, and then 2. And I was really just I was convinced. I would have probably bet $100 that they were gonna end it with the original, because there's nothing as good as the original.
You know, but the ending they did come up with was kind of interesting, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we were left off with Sam Carpenter. Well, now she's kind of tasted it a little bit. She's put the mask on. She's played with the knife.
Right. As she told her therapist, she dug it. She likes doing that.
Yeah. And it's in her blood. Let's face it.
Yeah. She still gets talked to by her dad.
Now, here's the thing, though. We see her take the mask out of the Scream theater, but she doesn't dedicate to it. Tara, you know, kind of in a not so obvious, but very obvious kind of way, is like, hey, you know, this is the path forward. Come with me.
Right.
She's holding on to the mask and she realizes she can't have both.
She
drops
the mask.
Hold on.
And I did dig that, too. Her sister brings her away from that dark path of murder and serial killing, and takes her to the future, if you will.
Right.
Which
I
did appreciate that
exactly.
As well.
There was some good character growth, and I liked the way that they make it so in your face, you know, like the scene where Sam is holding on to Tara's arm she's slipping down into the. She literally has to let go and let Tara go fight her own battles, basically, so that she can in turn go fight her own. Here's my question, though, because we see time and time again, Tara tends to be the more spontaneous, quick to react, and more, I don't know, like the way that she punches fucking Gail, right? She punches her in the face.
Yeah.
Do we see potential of her becoming a ghost face in the future?
So,
because she too is a carpenter.
Yeah, well, and when she was stabbing what was his name? The brother.
Oh, Jack? Yes,
was
the
Ethan?
Surprise.
Was it Ethan?
Ethan, yeah.
Jack
fuck.
Champion, who plays Ethan. When she was stabbing Ethan, you could see
yes,
a little smile on her face.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, maybe I too am enjoying
this.
This is
good.
Okay, Scream 7. Matthew Lillard. Stu is coming back.
Stu's got to come
back. He's teaming up with Tara.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
But the whole time we think it's Sam. They make us think it's Sam.
That would be interesting.
Spoilers on spoilers. We're going to have to go back and spoiler edit this episode when it comes true.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, that's great. And I also, one more thing is I did like the gore. I'm kind of one of those freaks that like seeing gore in movies. I like seeing how they fake it and the different creative ways they can do like the craziest shit with. And this was fun.
Totally.
You know, there wasn't anything. There was a couple, I guess that's a lie. There's a couple moments where I was like, oof, that's a lot. Like literally when Ghostface was like gutting the girlfriend of Mindy's character. I forgot her name. Annika.
Yes, an Annika.
That was
brutal. Whenever Ghostface is like driving his knife into Annika, oh My yeah, God.
That was
you can, like, see
brutal.
Him, like, pulling on it.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And that's not even what kills her. That's the...
That scene was pretty cool. And I do want to mention the subway scene. That was definitely a standout in my mind as far as the lighting goes, the pacing, the music. I really enjoyed that. And then I rode the light rail home, and that's all I could think about was that scene.
You're like, please just let me get to my stop okay right now. At least it wasn't Halloween.
True. Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Yeah, which is so interesting because we've seen scenes like that play out before, but this one still gets you like kind of like, oh my God. Also because you love Mindy so much.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to see Mindy go. She's the best part of the whole entire movie.
Well, yeah, and that's also part of it. Like, you love Mindy so much, but you also love Chad so much, and they're siblings, so you don't want to see Chad hurting, and you're just like, no, you're sad for Chad,
yeah,
too, but
for
he's
sure.
probably going to die anyways.
Chad lives.
Which somehow he doesn't.
Chad gets brutally stabbed, and he lives.
Yeah, that was one thing that I was almost, like, as much as I did love these characters, I was a little disappointed that, like, not more of them died.
Right.
Like, they all kind of just survived these attacks, like, brutal attacks
right. like
somehow.
I said, they set it up to where anything could happen. They had me believing that anything could happen. Anyone could die.
Yeah, and then nobody
and then
dies.
No one does, which, I mean, I guess, you know, it's subversive again, but, you know.
Right, right. Which only means that we've got a lot of killing to do in the next one. So.
So, Couch Lock would recommend... go see it. It's a lot of fun.
I would say so.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, see it, watch it, have fun. Don't take movies too seriously.
And don't forget to like and subscribe. You can find us everywhere at Couch Lock Pod. We're going to be back on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Mondays with all sorts of fun movie reviews and conversations.